All right. Thank you, Tiffany. What a good message and song. Amen. All right. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans. We're going to be a little different tonight. In fact, some of you that have been here for many, many years with me, you're going to say that's vintage Brother Carter tonight. Most of you don't know what that means, but you will. Going back to preach some like I preached a few years ago when we were in some of the battles we were in with the government, trying to defend the Lord's church against Caesar, and we still haven't changed our mind and still take the same position. Romans chapter 13. A lot of Christians get mixed up on the next few verses we're going to read here in the book of Romans. It's amazing to me how many Christians think because they're Christians, they've lost their citizenship, that they've lost their rights. It's amazing. You need to get things right. You need to rightly divide the Bible, and then you need to know a little more, too. You need to know what country you're living in and what your forefathers gave you, and it's worth protecting. Amen? All right, Romans chapter 13. I'm not going to expound it so much. It'll say what it says. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, yes, maybe you could say this was written to the church at Rome, but it's also written to individuals. I sort of agree with Lester Roloff. He said it's not the higher powers that's giving me trouble, it's the lower powers. I agree with him quite a bit there. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And watch the word good there. That's their job, supposed to be. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute, or taxes, also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, just at first glance, a lot of folks think that we're supposed to obey everything that government says, but you better separate two words in there, good and evil. Amen. You better understand that the purpose is not always met. And the sad truth is we're living in a day and time when the good is just about forgotten. In fact, it's predicted in the Word of God, that, and I know we're living in the time when good will be called evil and evil will be called good. And boy, have we ever seen it switched around in the day and time that we live in. But here is a difficult position for the Christian. You need to get this thing understood and get it right. You need to understand this. We are citizens first of another world. Stephen was preaching on that this morning. Set your affections on things above. That's where our citizenship is. Since we are citizens of that world, we're going to have trouble in this world. Do you understand that? Do you understand Satan is the god of this world? And do you understand he works through governments? America has been a phenomena to be what it is because it started out with God. All you got to do is go to some of the foreign countries and you'll find out in a hurry how bad things are. I was over in Russia, and some of you were, in the 90s, and I was amazed at some things I saw over there. In fact, the more we have people in America push for communism, the more we ought to send them over there and let them get a dose of it. But when I was over there, it's a sad thing to see. I saw people in poverty. I saw them, though, it looked like they had jobs. They were standing around on the streets, potholes in the street, buildings falling down, and city workers standing around. And I said to them through the interpreters, and especially some of the Christians that could give me an answer, I said, what's going on? All this work needs to be done, and nobody is working. They're just standing around smoking cigarettes. And They say, well, preacher, you got to understand. You got to understand our government. They pretend to pay us, and we pretend to work. There's too much truth to that. I really saw that. And America is falling right into that very same thing. Everybody wants a paycheck, but not a job. They want the freebie, but not to earn it. And that's where we're at today. But we're citizens of another world, and Satan is the god of this world, and he uses men against men. And yet this text tells us government is of God. And in Daniel chapter 5, we find where God sent Nebuchadnezzar out into the cow pasture and let his hair grow like feathers and let him go out there and act like a cow for 7 years. You remember the story? Until he learned that God was in charge and could put whoever he wanted to on the throne. And it was an amazing thing that Nebuchadnezzar was able to come back and still find that his servants would allow him to come back and to lead again, because God was in it, of course. Now in verse 3 here where I read, it says good works. Government is supposed to take the side of good, not bad. Good works. Now think about it just a minute. You hear this sometime. You can't legislate morality. Oh yes, you can. And you're supposed to. For instance, will they, if a fella breaks into the 7-Eleven and robs it, won't they arrest him if they catch him? All right, then they're legislating don't steal. If a fella goes out and murders somebody and they can catch him, won't they put him in jail if they can? They're legislating that it's morally wrong to kill. Amen? So we do legislate morality in a lot of ways, but what we're doing today now is beginning to legislate immorality. I mean, when it comes to marrying the gays, when it comes to this old business that we're looking at today, one thing after another. I want to tell you something. America's going to answer for aborting the babies, killing the babies. I'm going to go ahead and say this also. We're legislating a lot of immorality, from the lottery to legalizing marijuana, alcohol, or the rest of it. We're not standing for good. We're standing for bad. And we're going to reap, and we are reaping for that. Now, if you go to the early church in the book of Acts, you find out that they got in trouble with the law some, didn't they? You don't remember Paul and Silas in the jail? What was they in there for? For their preaching, right? Now, you come on and follow that thing a little bit in Acts chapter 5 there, you find where the apostles were put in jail, and they were, God delivered them out, and they were found out on the street preaching again, and they were called before the authorities, and the authorities said, we told you not to preach in this man's name, and Peter said, basically, judge ye whether it be right to obey God or man. And that's still true today. Do you understand that while Paul was writing to Rome from the church at Corinth, perhaps, or in Corinth, Paul ultimately went to Rome and ultimately was in a Roman jail and finally had his head chopped off by a Roman emperor. So Paul was executed by the government, just like many other, almost all the others that were killed. Basically, it was government that did it. Now today we look around, you hear it in the news all the time. Right now North Korea just got an American in jail over there, gave him 15 years. What was he doing? He was preaching. So they charged him with insurrection of the government. Do you understand from their viewpoint that if you preach the freedom we have in Jesus Christ, that you are preaching against their government, their dictatorship, the tyrants that they are? Do you understand that? And except for the stars and stripes and the freedom we have in America that was based on this book in the beginning, we'd be in the same boat today. Very much true. Do you understand that most of the martyrs in the early years were killed by government? It was government that threw them to the lions. It was government that burned them at the stake. And many times it was false religion that got in and was using the government as their arm and caused many of the martyrs to die. But basically in Rome, before the Catholic Church grew to the power that it had over Rome, you had the Roman Caesars burning Christians and throwing them to the lions. Do you understand what they were guilty of? Saying that Jesus was Lord, not Caesar.
You got a tag on your car out there? I hope you have. You know what that tag is called in Latin? The word that we get, the license tag, and license in English, comes from the word licit in Latin. And when you get down to it, what it was that caused a lot of Christians to be thrown to lions and burned was because they would not say that Caesar was licit or that he was over Christ. Christ was where their main allegiance was. And because they wouldn't say that Caesar was licit, many of them, like Polycarp, and some of the rest of them, was burned at the stake for that. Now, here's the good thing. America had a different beginning. We had a bunch of forefathers that recognized the Bible as the foundation, and our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence before that, represented and was based on the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you need to kind of get a hold of that a little bit. Our forefathers understood something. Now, we look around today and we talk about our rights, and we have a Bill of Rights in the Constitution. By the way, the Bill of Rights came through James Madison in the summer when he was not in Washington visiting a little old Baptist church and seeing the way that they democratically carried on their little business in that church. And he got the idea that's the way the government ought to work. And when he was talking with the preachers there, they admonished him that they would have the freedom that we're supposed to have and did have. And so the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights, came as a result of James Madison putting that in, and it came through the Baptists. Give me close. You hear the statement, separation of church and state. And some of you young people try to listen to this tonight. I know it's not as exciting as what sometimes you're used to, but it'll help you down the road. Try to get some of it tonight. James Madison there wrote a letter to the Danforth Baptist Association promising them that he would give them that First Amendment, that separation of church and state, to keep the state out of the church's business. And the only, it's not that statement, the separation of church and state, is not in the Constitution. It is in a letter that James Madison wrote to the Danforth Baptist Association. And it was not in any kind of way in the government's favor. It was telling the Baptists, we're going to keep the government out of your pocket, out of your church, out of ruling over you. And that was a promise that was made. And by the way, that Bill of Rights is under attack today, just like the Constitution is. And we hear a lot about the Second Amendment, don't we? And I'm all for it, brother. We better defend it, because, I mean, it is under attack today like crazy. Now, they'll never tell you how many lives are saved because of the Second Amendment. I read recently, see if I can remember it. It happened in Montana. There's a couple of thugs that broke into a house. They killed a fellow by the name of David O'Brien. They knifed him, they stabbed him. But in that house, when they killed him, they found his pistol, a .45, and they stole it. And they went down the street just to a few houses, and they broke into another house by the family's name of Harrington. And they just knocked the door in. It seemed empty, but it wasn't empty. There was an 11-year-old girl upstairs, and she heard the door break in. She went to her dad's room and got his shotgun. What those thugs didn't know was this 11-year-old had been shooting skeet since she was 9. So when the burglar headed up the stairs, the last thing he saw was an 11-year-old girl on one knee. And she blew him away. And the second one ran up, and he tried to stop buckshot with his chest, and it didn't work either. You know what that little 11-year-old girl did? She stopped a crime wave right there in her city with one shotgun. Second Amendment rights. Now, I don't know about you, but I get a blessing out of reading stuff like that. We better keep that right. We better exercise our rights. And we better watch this business that government is infringing today, from the city level to the state level, to the federal level, and it will take over just like Caesar always has, unless God's people. And by the way, we are the salt and the light. And we can do it with a loving attitude, but we better be firm about it. And we better stand on our constitutional rights. Amen. First Amendment, we realize what it says, that Congress shall make no law. I don't understand why they can't understand this. First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It goes on to include the freedom of the press. And by the way, the liberal press needs to understand something. If it wasn't for the Baptist Church and James Madison, they wouldn't have freedom of press. They need to understand that today. But as a whole, the media is liberal, and you know, most of them don't know the Bible from anything else. Hate to say it, but it's the truth. But you know, the rights of the church has to be defended. Every church age, the church has had to stand when it could, and we have a unique opportunity. As Americans, we have a constitution. Do you know all governments of the world, with the exception of Israel, during some of their best times under David and Solomon, that all governments of the world have been under a king, under a dictatorship? Do you understand what a thing this is in America, that God gave us a government like we have? And Benjamin Franklin, when he come out of the Continental Congress, and when he walked out there, and the people said after that the Constitution had been drawn up, they said to Ben Franklin, "What have you given us?" He said, "A republic, if you can keep it." And we had better work at it, because it's long going down the river. It's too bad. And a big part of it is, and by the way, the power to tax is the power to control. Always has been, still is. And I'm saying just this to you tonight. Our forefathers saw the church not as tax exempt, but non-taxable. Never taxed it. See, somebody says, "Well, the government gave you exemption." No. We started out as equals, non-taxable. You can't touch the church. Now, you know why America, revolted against England? You know why we had the spirit of 76 and the revolution? Anybody ever hear of the Tea Party? When they threw the tea in the Boston Harbor, do you know what that was about? Unfair taxes. That's what it was about. Do you know what today, and I want to say to every leader from the city right on up to the top, that same thing may get you in trouble again. Some of you are upset right now here in Haines City, and you got a right to be, and I am too, and I got a right to be. It's an amazing thing. Folks get a surprise bill through the mail. And now here the church, you wouldn't think would get one. But if we pay it, without question, we'll have around $6,000 to pay. You know what? Brother Herman Hill's back there, and he can testify to this. We went down there in the middle of the summer, whenever it was, July, I guess. We went down there, and our city commission, and I hope some of them's listening on the radio. But anyway, we went down there, and all this business about the fire tax was coming up. We wanted to see how it was going to go and what they were talking about. And so we went and sat right down, and somebody, some staff member, left the platform. Soon as I came in, came down to see me, looked in my face, 36 inches from my nose, and said, "Now, preacher, the churches are exempt." I said, "Well, it's supposed to be." Now, did anybody know what the ninth of the Ten Commandments says? "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Somebody lied. That's what it amounts to. Somebody lied, or we wouldn't have got that bill. Now, what'd they do? Did they take me out of the picture because they didn't want me to get up and speak? I know it's getting quiet. I'm just telling you the truth, and you, excuse me, you ain't heard nothing yet if you stick around here for the next few weeks. Now, that's a dirty trick, folks. The church is not supposed to be taxed. I mean, we have the First Amendment. And the sad, sad truth is today, all of a sudden, the church is just another business to the secular world out there. And get all from it that you possibly can. That's too bad. That's too bad. I'm going to deal with that thing a little bit. You say you can't win. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can fight City Hall. I remember years ago, and some of you remember this, Remember years ago, we had the college going for several years, and all of a sudden the bureaucrats, rats, whatever you want to call them in Tallahassee, said, you can't use the word college. That's a secular word. And they just started giving us all kind of trouble, and actually I think we operated 1 year, according to them, illegal, because we wouldn't change it. And then we had a meeting. We went up to Orlando on a Saturday morning and met with them in the Marriott Hotel. I mean, they can afford the best. They're spending your money. So we met with them in the Marriott Hotel up there, and they had a big bunch of these, looked like men behind the counter back there. Anyway, some of them look like men, I put it that way. Anyway, we go up there and they have several things on the agenda, but one of the things on the agenda was they were going to outlaw us using the word college. So we had to wait through a bunch of stuff, and some of the folks from the Christian school organization and some of my staff and some of the others from other groups said, preacher, what are you going to do? I said, just wait. My turn came. They had a room not big as this one, only had one middle aisle in it, and we were sitting near the back. And finally, they got their little stuff out of the way, and it was my turn to finally come and answer. So I took this Bible. By the way, it's bigger than the average Bible because I use margin notes in it. But I just took this Bible, had it all the time with me. You ever notice how the Bible gets attention? It gets attention. I just walked down the aisle with my Bible in my hand and walked up to the platform and told them who I was and the issue about us not being able to use the word college, that it was a secular word. I laid this Bible down right in front of them and I said, here's my proof that we had the word first. Have you got a document older than this one? This was brought around in 1611. And it's got the word college in it in 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles. It's our word. You stole it. Some of the folks, I think Dr. Lee might have been there, made them awful nervous. Made the one guy red in the face. And he said, you don't need to be teaching us history. I said, I think I do. By the way, we've been using the word college ever since. And gonna keep using it, amen? You win a few every now and then. You get a few in when you just stick with it. And by the way, the Bible will take care of you if you really use it the right way. It really will. Now, I'm just simply saying to you, this thing of government and church and taxes, it's an amazing thing today. See, we had a recession. You do know that, don't you? And you know what most of us did in a recession? We cut back. But government didn't want to cut back. What government wanted to do was continually reach out to the citizens and make up the deficit. And that's what they're doing, from cities to counties to states to the federal government. Same thing. It's all about money. It's all about grabbing. It's all about getting more. It's all about using the power, and that's what's happening. Now, what's happening in the big picture is this. The church is under the humanistic attack. I said we're citizens of the other world. And the humanistic attack includes, of course, attacking God. And that's what's happening today. You hear it all the time in the daily news, the thought police. See, one of our freedoms on the Constitution was the freedom of speech. But boy, you better watch the freedom of speech today. It's supposed to be politically correct. You better watch out for hate crimes. If you're going to kill somebody, you better tell them you love them first. I'm simply telling you, we've moved to that stupid thought police thing that has been amazing. And by the way, how comfortable do you feel using your cell phones now? Have you just discovered everybody's listening in? I suspected that all the time, amen. Humanistic attack, though, against God. It's daily in the news. The military right now, you ought to pray for them. Man, they are under attack. They are keeping them from praying in Jesus' name. They're keeping them from having a Bible showing it. They're saying there's too much religion in the military. I want to tell you, if you're out there on the front line, with your life at risk, you might be thinking about God. You might want a Bible. You might want to pray.
But they're really hurting the military right now. They're really against them big time. But you know, humanism is behind it. By the way, humanism is a religion. Just like environmentalism has become a religion. I mean, worshiping Mother Earth. Somebody just told me tonight that a billion dollar, whatever it was, road has been stopped because they found some stupid snail may have used to live there. Not a snail, a lizard. A lizard. If they need some lizards, I got some around my house. But kill a project. The Keystone Pipeline, a good example. All of that. It's crazy, folks. The religion has taken over on the Mother Earth thing. And humanistic religion is, humanism is a religion. 1961, the Supreme Court declared that humanism, 1961, look it up, was a religion. So it is a religion. And what it boils down to, the devil is behind that stuff because he hates true religion. He hates the truth of the gospel. He hates the church that the Lord Jesus Christ loved and died for. And so that's what the whole thing is. The humanistic religion is moving in today. Say, what do humanists believe? They believe they're the master of their own destiny. They don't believe they have a God to answer to. Now, that's being portrayed today in classrooms, in songs, in the teaching of evolution, in all the business that's being piped into your living room, is to take this group of young people over here and raise them without any faith in this Word of God, this Bible. That's what's behind it, folks. That's what's behind it. You know, the whole thing, the whole goal is the Antichrist kingdom. And boy, is it ever, ever moving in. There's two things standing in the way of his kingdom. One is the church, and the other one is Israel. And you're seeing both of them under attack today, big time. Now, Israel is not in the godly situation, but they're chosen of God. And God has a plan for them, and the devil has a plan against them. And that's what's happened. Did you see in the news just the last few, 2 weeks, where Mr. Kerry is saying to Israel that you will either accept the Palestinian state or all the European nations will boycott you? Did you see that in the news? You should have seen it. It's not on Oprah, but it's somewhere. If you watch the news, amen. Now, the truth of the matter is that they're doing what the Bible said they'd do. They're gathering against Israel. They plan to push her out into the ocean and destroy her. That's what they're planning. It's not going to work, by the way. Not going to work. But this is the thing. Now, today, next thing you're going to see pass. By the way, did you see where Eric Holder, the Attorney General, said now that gay marriage would be recognized? Even in all the states that are against it, it will be recognized by the federal government in court and so forth. Spouse rights and all of that business. That's in the news just recently, just the last few days. So what you have coming is the Antichrist kingdom. The state religion is what it amounts to. And to get rid of the church and get rid of Israel, and when I say the church, I'm not talking about the liberal panty waist, pink tea and lemonade crowd. I'm talking about real backbone, fundamental, Bible-believing, independent, especially Baptist churches. And those that agree with us in our stand, and thank God there are some others. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, it's getting lonelier. Now, there'll be some people listening to me preach tonight, and they'll go to their little ministers. Hopefully there'll be some real preachers out there they can go to. But there'll be some little pink tea and lemonade ministers. They'll say, Brother Carter's just a rabble-razzer. Don't pay him no mind. Let's be sweet. And they'll pay whatever bill is sent to them, whether they have to. Just throw their heritage away. Just throw their freedom away. Just throw what the forefathers bled and died for and stood for. Just throw it away. In our generation, that's what we're doing. Seeing it done. Romans 13 here ought to be judged in two ways, two lights. One is Acts 5, obey God rather than man. Number two, America's freedoms was founded in our Constitution.
So it is not illegal to resist an unjust, unconstitutional law. You are not sinning when you do that. You're not a lawbreaker when you stand on your constitutional rights. And we will, and we have as a church, and many of you know that we have. And taxes has been a problem from the Bible days on. Do you understand what Matthew was before he got converted? Tax collector, sitting in the seat of customs, amen. Do you know what Zacchaeus was? He was a rich man. And when he got saved, you know what he told the Lord Jesus? He said, if I've taken anything, I'll restore it fourfold. You know what he was doing? He was quoting the Jewish law. If you stole it, brother, you had to replace it four times over. You ever read that? It's in there. It's in there, amen. But we've come to this place of blind obedience. And you know that's what burned 6 million Jews in Germany? Amen. Blind obedience. See, when Hitler burned them, they'd already passed some laws and they were enforcing those laws. That's right. I mean, somebody said, why didn't the Jews resist? They had gotten into a habit being a group of people that had been dominated for a long time by the governments from Rome on, from Babylon on up through Rome and on, to the place that they had done what a lot of even churches are doing today. Pay off. Give them the money. Money will be the answer to everything. And that's what the Jews tried, and they wound up being burned by it. And as Americans today, we cannot think, just go along to get along. All right, we pay a little more, we pay a little more, we pay a little more. No, we're selling the Constitution and every drop of blood that was shed for it down the drain. And we should not do that. No, we're not lawbreakers to resist bad laws that violate the Constitution. No way. It got too late with Hitler. There was a few preachers. There was at least two lost their life that stood up against Hitler. Bonhoeffer, and I forget the other one at the minute, but they stood, but it cost them their lives. But I'd rather be them now than the ones that didn't stand, because they've all stood before God since then. Amen. Well, listen, folks, I am simply saying today, let's stand for our church rights, biblical rights, constitutional rights. Much is at stake. Say, why it's important? Let me tell you why it's important. The freedom to keep preaching this book is important. Amen. Do you understand that's under threat? Do you understand in high places like the chaplains in the army, military now, are being told what they can't say? They cannot say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They can't end prayers in his name. They can't take the stand they used to take, and a lot of them are getting out of the service because of it. That's what I'm talking about, losing the freedom to preach this book. If we lose the freedom to preach this book, then we lose the freedom to save our grandkids from a world that is getting more perverse every day. Freedom to preach this book, freedom to save our grandkids, and by the way, freedom to see souls saved. If you can go in a church like this one and the preacher's been muzzled and he can't tell you the truth, you're in bad shape. And that's where we're coming to. You cannot now. And they're trying to pass a law right now. In fact, I'll almost predict they're going to get it soon. That you cannot speak against Islam. The preaching you've heard me do will put me in jail. Like they've done in Canada. Like they've done in England. Like they've done in France. Preachers have gone to jail for preaching against Islam. And in America right now, you've got the Muslim group called CAIR, C-A-I-R, up there lobbying in Washington, lobbying in Congress, lobbying the authorities up there to get this law, and they're going to call it freedom of religion, but it's a lie. It's to take freedom from of religion away, freedom from preachers like me, freedom from Bible believers, take it away where we will identify that religion that is of the devil and not of God, and help yourself if you don't like that. Any religion that chops off heads and has suicide bombers going into church buildings and blowing them up, that is not a religion of God. It's not a loving religion. I don't care if Bush said it and Obama says it and all the rest of them. It's not. It's a heathen religion born in the pits of hell. And the sad truth is, if we let that law pass, it's going to hurt our kids in the future. Sad, but it's true. Listen, folks, much is at stake. I'm not just up here venting and pitching a fit, though I'll be honest, I kind of enjoy it. I enjoy it when there's a crowd out there that don't think you're going to say nothing. Just going to go ahead and push it right on through. I told the city, and Herman back there is a witness, that the church didn't pay taxes. I went ahead and told them that, well, it's going to get a fee. I said, look, a skunk by any other name smells the same. If it is a tax, call it a tax. So, you know, part of our bill came on a tax notice. Do you understand why a lot of folks are upset, even here in our little city, over what they got? Because that bill constitutes a lien on their property if they don't pay it. That is amazing. Talking about something that's wrong. That's wrong. Say, well, what happened to our city? I'll tell you what happened. Somebody run the credit card up too high. And now the chickens have come home to roost. So now they're going to put that on the back of every citizen and even the churches to pay it off. And what's happening on a small scale in our city is happening on a little larger scale in the county, happening on a little larger scale in the state, and a little larger scale in the feds, the federal government. And folks, we still got a constitution. We better fight for it while we have. Stand for it while we can. And I say to you again, this hadn't been a gospel message. It hadn't even been a good Christian living message, but it's an important message. And it's in the book. And the truth of the matter is, we've got freedom in Jesus Christ. We shouldn't sell out. We shouldn't give up. We shouldn't just go weak on and go to sleep on. And Lord knows I'm near the end of my watch than ever before. And some of you have been with me a long time, and we've had some battles before. And by the grace of God, let me ask you this. Where would we be had we not fought them? If we had not fought them, there'd be no Christian school. If we had not fought them, there would be no college. If we had not fought them, there'd be no youth camp. If we had not fought them, this church wouldn't be what it is today. So there's times, and we are empowered above almost all of the history of Christendom, that we have a constitution put in place by believers in the early years. Now, I'm going to warn some of you. Don't come to me tonight disagreeing with me. You better let me calm down before you come to me. I'm just giving you fair warning. I don't expect all this crowd to everyone agree with me. And I want to say, you all got a right to your opinion, no matter how ridiculous it is. Amen. But I'm just warning you, what I said, I got some feeling in, so better give me a couple of days before you come up disagreeing with me. Amen. Just thought I'd give you that. That's, they say a good thing about a rattlesnake is he warns.